You're tuned in to the Brand Ambassador Select Podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to the Brand Ambassador Select Podcast, where we are building connections, showcasing the impressive and inspiring movers and makers. I'm your host, Lenore, and today's episode is brought to you by Refining Clean, a unique hand sanitizer by Health Fairs Direct. You can't get a better pedigree for hand sanitizer anywhere else. So joining us on today's show is one of our favorite guests of all time. His name is Steve Schneider. He was the author of the World War II novel Shot Down that was based off of his experiences of his father's life, but he was a pilot. His name was Howard Schneider, and the crew of the B-17 Susan Ruth pilot crew. So if you didn't catch that episode, one, you definitely should check it out, because during my conversation with Steve, he revealed that if his book was made into a movie, that he would love to have his son Clayton play his dad. Turns out that his son Clayton Schneider is the teen heartthrob who played Ethan Kraft on Disney's Lizzie McGuire. What? Yes, I was not prepared for that. I had a little freak out. So like I said, if you didn't watch it, go back. So I'm so excited, actually, because today we have both Steve and Clayton joining us on this episode. So Clayton put acting on a hold and attended university, got his BA, and then continued his water polo career and continues to play professionally in Europe and trains with the U.S. national team. He's going to share what it's like growing up as a teen star to becoming a professional water polo star and working alongside his dad and making different movies and documentaries. And I'm so looking forward to hearing Steve rave about his son as well. So Steve and Clayton, welcome to the Brand Ambassador Select Podcast.
It's good to be back. I'm glad to be here with Clayton.
So Clayton, when I left with your dad on our last episodes that we were with together, I asked him who he would want to play his dad in a movie based off of, like, for his book, Shot Down, and completely surprised me and pretty much everybody else in the room that, like, he wanted you, his son, to play his dad. So are you guys going to make that happen or what?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly would be quite, I don't even know the word for it.
Ideal?
It'd be surreal and like in a dream come true and yeah, ideal, sure. If I were to be able to play my grandfather in this story, it's just such a, because not only is my grandfather in this story, my own father has put so much time and love and effort into telling this story and learning so much about it. And I've been so involved in helping him do that once it got to kind of the documentary side of it that we created. And it's a crazy time right now for Hollywood, that's for sure, in terms of trying to shoot stuff. And if you're the guy that one time played Liz McGuire, and then you're someone who has never written a book before in his life, coming together to producers, sometimes trying to get some feet in the door in terms of, hey, we want to make this movie, trust us, it's going to be a hit. They're like, what's your track record? You're like, okay. So
you just need GoFundMe. That's all you really need.
I've done enough of those. No, thank you.
Although, I've actually never started one yet.
It, like, don't get me wrong, great campaigns, they're put together really well, they can absolutely put things together. But even then, we wouldn't be able to raise the kind of money we'd need to create the project that we'd want. Because this isn't like an indie project, you know, we can't like grab some cameras and just shoot this as a passion project, at least to create the vision that I think my dad or I would want for it. And that budget's a little higher than a GoFundMe, I think.
Yeah, it's like a Saving Private Ryan type movie.
How was it working together as father and son on even that documentary, and even Clayton, like watching your dad do all of this research when you were younger?
Well, I mean, I don't know about watching him do research, because he'd just go into the upstairs guest room and just hold himself up there, and that's where all his research was, basically. And then he'd go out of town to do speaking events. He did more of those after the book was published to market the book. However, he was going to some of those anyways, conventions and such. And like there's the 306 Historical Bomb Group Association that he actually served as president for. Are you vice president right now, Dad?
No, I'm just on the board, like you.
Just on the board.
Oh, you
I'm on the board as well. Yeah. We're both board members. So I, Howard, my dad's dad, who was the pilot of the B-17 Susan Ruth, that's the name of the plane. They were in the 306 bomb group. So we're a part of this association that is attached to all the families of everyone that was in that plane. And we just recently, I think, decided to be absorbed by the 8th Air Force Association. Is that right?
Well, not yet. We hold annual reunions every year. And this year we were going to hold the 306th reunion, group reunion with the 8th Air Force Historical Society. But because of COVID, you know, everything's been canceled. So we were going to do that as an experiment to see if we wanted to stay on our own as an independent group or join the 8th Air Force Historical Society. So, but yeah, Clayton just came on the board. The board felt that we needed some new blood and some younger blood. And that, you know, with his interest in, the whole subject of my dad, the 8th Air Force, the 306 bomb group, they thought he would be a good person to get on the board. So now this is his first year on the board.
So Steve, this question is for you actually. How was it like raising a child star? It had to have been a little difficult. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, I want to know. Because girls are probably throwing everything everywhere and you're probably at the supermarkets like, oh, yo, that's their son? And you're like, yes, it's my son. Like, he's annoying. I get it. Like,
he'd peddle me. He had a great time.
that actually is a great question, Lenore. Well, we didn't know he had any acting ability at all until, I guess it was fourth grade. He was in the fourth grade. I forget, you know, how old are you in the fourth grade? Like 8 or whatever. And they have these fourth and fifth grade plays at the elementary school. And they had one coming up and it was Tom Sawyer. And so all the kids in the fourth and fifth grade participate in this. But naturally, you know, only select ones get the big roles. So I traveled on my this is kind of a long story, but
this is good.
I travel all the time. On my job, so I was gone a lot. And during these auditions, I guess you'd say, one time I got a voicemail from Clayton saying that he was going to be in this play, Tom Sawyer, but unfortunately, you know, he didn't get the role of Tom Sawyer. He was only going to, he only got the role of Mark Twain. Oh. And he goes, you probably don't even know who Mark Twain is, he says to me. But it turns out that Mark Twain was like the main character in the play. He was on stage the whole time. And I sent you a picture of him dressed up as Mark Twain. My wife went out and had this suit made, this white suit, and puffed up his hair and grayed it. He looked just like Mark Twain. And he was on stage and he would introduce like every scene. And before the play, we saw the script and I'm going, oh my goodness, how is he ever going to remember all these lines? I mean, it was tons of lines. And he just knocked it out of the park. And my wife and I was going, my goodness, where did he get this? He was spectacular. He remembered his lines perfectly in character. And he just fell in love with acting. And then he wanted to pursue it. And he was in a lot of local stage plays and things. And then he wanted to get an agent. And my wife was all for all this, you know, and I'm going, this will never happen. I go, he'll never get an agent.
Way to be
sure
supportive,
enough,
Dad.
Agents. And I go, he's never going to get any acting roles. And then he got on this show, you know, Lizzie McGuire. At the time, we had no idea, you know, it'd become so popular. But then he got on that, and it was something else. My wife was actually heavily involved because she would drive him up, you know, up to Hollywood, just back and forth on the freeways to film and stuff. So she and Clay really bonded during that time. And so they were the two that really did the movie thing or the acting thing. I was just always in the background. But I did take advantage of it, like Clay said, because I would meet with these people on my sales calls. And if there was especially a woman, I go, we talk about families and, you know, if they had kids. And I go, do you have any, how old's your daughter? And they'd say, you know, she was a teenager, or a tweener. And I go, does she happen to watch the show Lizzie McGuire? And they go, oh, yes, she just loves that show. And I go, well, and sometimes I go, well, they might go, well, I watch it with her. And I go, you know who Ethan Kraft is? And go, oh, yeah. And I go, that's my son. And they go, no way. And I go, yeah, if you'd like an autographed picture, I'll have Clay sign one to you and send it to you. So I scored tons of points.
I can imagine.
With my clients doing that. And it was even funnier with the men, because the men had no idea what Lizzie McGuire was. And I go, well, just go home and ask your daughter if she knows who Ethan Kraft is, and then get back to me. And then get back to me and go, holy smoke, my daughter's just, you know, bonkers over. Y'all, send me that picture. I'll score a lot of points with my daughter if you send me that picture.
I should have been getting royalties for that.
Or at least some commission. Like 5% or something on that side.
Yeah, so
I never put together that you brought it up so many times specifically to help you with sales deals. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So wait, Clay, do you use that for your own sales deals now? Does it work? Like, do you get a bunch of 30-year-old women or like even their young 20s like myself? It's like, okay, like, fine, you get in the
deal. I mean, you know, if I say on social media, I'd be like, hey, like, I'm, you know, for those who follow me or keep track, know that I'm the guy who was in Liz McGuire. So if there's any attraction to that and him being your realtor, it's kind of a catch-22, I think, because they associate you with the character. So it's like, oh, that'd be really cool if Ethan Kraft was my realtor. Oh, would I want Ethan Kraft as my realtor?
Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that.
So hopefully they see the other content that I would put up and see that there is a little bit of difference between the two people. But
I mean, you grew up by the end of the Italy trip, so I think you were good to go.
I mean, he's smarter than people give him credit for, that's for sure. He has some wisdom.
Was there anything actually that you channeled in yourself, from yourself into that character?
Yeah, I mean, Ethan loved Friends. Like it's all he really wanted. You know, I think a lot of jocks or love interest sometimes, like he liked the ladies for sure, but he wasn't necessarily a womanizer, I don't think. You know, he wasn't necessarily dating a bunch of different women. He just like appreciated them. And so as far as like back to like the similarities, like sure, I appreciate women too. I really appreciate one in particular now, my fiance Allegra. And I think he loved having fun, we love friendship, we love sports. And he wanted to try hard. You know, he wanted to do well. He wasn't the smartest, but he admitted that he needed help to learn math. And you know, he's operating at the highest level of his intelligence, and that's what I aspired to do too.
Another thing that was funny that took place when he was filming Lizzie McGuire is that, you know, Clayton's was a water polo player. Actually, he still plays water polo.
Wait, so you did water polo before? Like, you went to college?
Oh, yeah, water polo since I was like...
He started at eight playing water polo.
Okay.
But when he was playing, like, age group and in high school, you know, people would realize that Ethan Kraft is on that team. And if they were playing at a local school, all the girls at that school would come out to the water polo game. They'd get a glimpse of Ethan Kraft, and they'd hang out and giggle, and it was quite funny.
And all the guys at that school would show up too and harass.
Oh yeah, they go, Ethan, Ethan.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if that was the worst, can you imagine if there was Instagram and Twitter at that time?
Oh my gosh, I'm so thankful I didn't have that when I was growing up in like middle school and high school. Goodness gracious.
Definitely would have been a different world for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
that's a good point. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
They would have been outside your house, Steve. Can you imagine you're coming in from a sales deal and you got like the women that you're making these sales with or the men you're making these sales with, and they're just driving up to your house, like trying to make deals inside just to see your son? Like, that'd be weird. And I thought of that off the top of my head. Clayton, after Lizzie McGuire, you did go to school and you did continue to pursue water polo. How important is it for, you know, aspiring actors and actresses today to take education seriously?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to school during the show. That was one way that it was a different experience for me, is that I was still going to public school in Orange County while I was filming the show in LA. Oh. And doing club water polo at the same time as well. And it was pretty busy. But back to, as far as continuing education, when it got to that point after the show wrapped up and I was going into high school, Los Al High School, Alamitos, and I thought that the show was done and I was gonna be playing varsity as a freshman on the water polo team. And it was a pretty competitive team. I was really looking forward to it. And I was gonna be like starting some games. And then the call for the movie came, and it was a really hard decision of like, should I do this movie or should I commit to my team and play with my high school water polo team? And measuring everything, like, okay, this is gonna be a box office movie and you're gonna go to Italy for it. Seems like a pretty good once in a lifetime opportunity and experience. And I can miss my freshman year of high school water polo to do that. So I chose that, but boy, it really weighed on me to do that, to the point where after filming the movie, I had to make a decision of either have to decidedly stop playing water polo and let that go, or drop public school and just do homeschool or private school education that was more familiar with how Hollywood worked, I guess, or stop acting. And I knew if I stopped water polo, I was excelling a lot and I wouldn't be able to know how far I could have gone, which ended up being pretty far into the sport, playing professionally in Europe. And then there was school, which everything you hear growing up is stay in school. It's a good idea, stay in school. So I'm like, okay, I guess that's the best idea. And acting, they were like, look, you can come back into acting really anytime. You know, some people don't start until they're adults. It's a different path, but it's something that you can do. So I opted to stop doing acting for a decade, pretty much. And as far as people going to school or not, that's really a personal slash family decision of what goals and trajectories are. I do think education is really important. I don't think...
College is not for everybody.
College is certainly not for everybody. That's something that I am on the side of. It's been great for me, especially on like a social standpoint, because like, you know, you make so many friends, hopefully in high school, but especially in college, you know, you grow up a lot then as well, but you're still pretty young that you're doing it. You don't have a clear vision for what you want. I think that's the most important thing. For me as a scholarship athlete, it makes sense to do that jump from high school athletics into college athletics and to take advantage of that scholarship and still kind of figure myself out academically. I think nowadays, if you don't have that kind of opportunity to like kind of pause and figure out what you want to do so that you know you'll be focused on it and really make the most out of it. People would be confused, like, why is this kid that, you know, came here from Africa or another country, he's a transfer student, like doing so much, and he doesn't speak English that well, doing so much better in school than all these, you know, local kids. And it's usually because they have a clear objective out of school and they are on a mission to excel and to learn about something and do something with it. When some other kids are like, college is just kind of what you do, and here I am. So I think that's comes down to a decision with the family and just try to learn more about school and its benefits and where you guys stand budget-wise, et cetera. I don't know, Dan, if you have an opinion on that, but that's mine.
No, you pretty well said it.
I covered it all, right?
Yeah.
So this is for you, Steve, actually. When Clayton was trying to figure out whether to continue the acting or to really go with the sports aspect, what advice do you have to other parents that are probably dealing with those types of situations with their kids right now?
Oh, another good question. It's a tough one. I guess you have to, look at various things about your motivation, and like Clay had to make a decision for the movie, either to go into, you know, acting, stick with acting, or go with acting, or go with athletics and water polo. And so you can do that with academics too, but I think it also depends on your abilities and you know, and how good an athlete you're going to be. You know, it's one thing just to do it for the love of the sport, and it's another if, you know, you have the talent and ability to excel at that sport, you know, how far to push it and how much importance to put upon it, to the either the detriment or the hindrance of your academic career. So I think it's like Clay was saying, you know, the individual and their parents just have to sit down and talk about it and decide, you know, what's most important and what makes most sense.
So Clay, are you going to the Olympics or what? Is that a laugh? Is that a laugh as in the, yeah, okay, you're funny? Or is that a laugh as in,
no, I had a really amazing opportunity to train with the senior national men's team and compete with them a couple times around the 2012 year. And I had the opportunity to represent the USA in the, not the Pan American Games, the World University Games, which took place in Shenzhen, China in 2011. So I'm very proud to have represented the United States on a couple occasions, but I would not break into that bubble of our Olympic team. Some really, really amazingly talented guys we have, thankfully. So, and I also, it's hard when you don't grow up in the national team culture, you know, on that level between like junior team and stuff like that. And I really didn't have interest in that growing up. Interestingly enough, I was so focused on my team. It felt like if I tried to do that, I would have to miss our trainings and games and stuff like that. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted our team, my local team, my high school team, my college team to succeed. And sometimes in college, I would train with the senior national team just for some extra training time. But I don't think, I didn't have that kick, you know, like a kid watching. That's a whole nother thing. It might have been a different story if I had been watching water polo in the Olympics when it came on TV, because it's the only time it comes on TV, right? Yeah. You have it happens for some kids. They see someone and they, or a sport, and it really excites them, and they identify heroes in that sport. That's why, you know, basketball or football is so common, because it's everywhere and right in your face, and people see someone who either they admire or looks like them and be like, I want to be like that guy, and they have to train so hard to be him or surpass them. For me, water polo is not a sport to have heroes in as easily, I guess. If you really dig into it, you can, you know, whether you want to be Manel Estuarte or Antonio Acevedo, you have to like dig to find these people to really be like them. So I didn't have that national team Olympic dream that a lot of kids identified with. I actually mainly just wanted to be an actor when I was a kid. So I got close and represented Team USA in some ways, but no, not quite there. I admire those guys.
The World University Games in Shenzhen, China, Clay mentioned, was spectacular.
You went?
Yes, my wife and I went. You know, Shenzhen is an amazing city, a real modern city. It's right next to Hong Kong. And the World University Games, it's for college age athletes. And it's just like the Olympics. Teams from all over the world come to this thing, and they have all different sports. So it's like a mini Olympics.
Yeah.
And going to these events and all the different, you know, people rooting for their countries and waving their flags. It was an amazing experience, both the games themselves and just experiencing China and Hong Kong. It was an amazing experience, I think, both for Clayton and for his parents.
That does sound really cool. I actually have never been to, I've been to Europe, but I've never been to Asia. I'm actually kind of afraid because I'm a very picky eater. So I'm nervous that I'm going to have to bring granola bars with me everywhere I go, if I'm being honest.
Well, if you bring in granola bars, you know, that's a safe out. Be like, oh, I'm really not hungry right now. Or, ooh, like, you know what? You know, I just ate. And then afterwards, sneak back and pop some right. rallies.
I just want the bowl of rice, please. Thank you. So, Steve, your legacy that you're leaving towards your kids and grandkids and stuff like that would be your book, Shot Down. Now, Clayton, what's the type of legacy you'd like to leave and pass down to the generations in your family after you?
Oh, gosh.
Did I go too deep? Yeah, I practiced that question. I had that one line up.
Oh, gosh. It's only becoming more and more clear how important history is, and to acknowledge and have awareness of what happened before and an understanding of it. And I had this realization, I think, in high school that, oh, there's going to come a time very soon where everyone that was alive during World War II that could remember it and tell you what it was like is going to be gone. And all we have, and that, like, that's what happens to all wars, right? Throughout time, that there are these, like, crazy things that happen. And the only thing we have to rely on at that point are photos and books. And now people make films about it. And people then argue about the validity or truth of this thing that happened in the past. And we already see people that, you know, deny that the Holocaust happened and that it was just all fabricated with these photos and whatnot. And we're going to get to a point where the whole story around World War II is going to be challenged, I think. And we won't have anyone that was there to back it up. And as we get further away from it, you're going to get more and more people that either don't care or don't think that it was true or don't understand its impact. And I think that's something that's been become very real to me through my dad's experience and being with him on this journey for the part that I have been. And so that's definitely something, you know, my dad has spent a very focused amount of time of these last, decade on the research for the book and then meeting people around the world and other veterans. And he has such an archive of information in his head that I won't be able to match, solely also just because I won't have met any of these people that will be gone by the time I'm at that age, right, to devote so much time to it. And anything that I'll get will be secondhand, thirdhand information and will be as alive. And I'm like, man, I wish this is, you know, my fiance's was in the show for Amazon Prime called Upload. And so I reference it because there's such a part of me that I wish dad could just kind of leave some sort of data drive that I could just boop, zap in there and be like, whoa! There'll probably come a time, we did some interviewing of my dad for the documentary. That was more specifically about Howard. And I do suspect that somewhere in the future, I'm gonna sit down and think of as many questions as I can and just grill my dad for an hour a day for like a week and see what information I can glean off of him.
Dude, that sounds true. You gotta do it now.
Because I think everyone should do that. People don't, you don't realize how, right, dad, like how many things you want to talk to your parents about their life experience, because like you don't know what you don't know, or you don't know like what you're interested in that they have knowledge on or that they have experience with. And then it gets to be where it's too late and you're like, man, I wish I could have asked them that. And so I encourage everyone to just honor legacy and honor like people that have been here for a while. Like us young people think we're so smart and that we get it and we know more.
Aren't we so smart?
Have been here for decades. Nah, I mean, I did play Ethan. There is some similarity, right? We're just versions of that.
Yeah.
I think we need in general to honor the people that have been here for decades and decades and have seen a lot and try to learn from them instead of trying to tell them that they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's true for any child. I mean, how many kids really get to know their parents in depth? You know, they know them as who their parents are, as their relationship with their parents, but what about before they were born? What were their parents like? before they were born. You know, what things happened to them growing up? You know, you kind of, and this is typical for all generations. You know, you look at these old people and you just think, well, they're just old. You know, they didn't have much of a life. You know, they're, because you just know them as the old person. Yes. You know, not this young, vibrant 20 or 30 year old who's doing all these things and having all these experiences. But every person has all these experiences. So I think that is important for any son or daughter to you know, ask questions, ask their parents about their youth and their history and what, you know, things were important to them or milestones in their lives. And just to get to know them and just then you can carry on that legacy of your family. Clayton and the story of my book and this, he has been to Belgium 4 times. So, and we've gone over there and filmed twice. And so he has been able to absorb a lot more and had the opportunity to do so than most kids. And those times when we went filming or going over there for celebrations, you know, that's really special times for me and Clay. It was special with me and my dad going over there to experience all that in Belgium and be there and participate and enjoy the celebrations and to learn the history and see the history. And, you know, Clayton's got to meet the German Luftwaffe pilot, Hans Berger, that shot down my dad's plane a couple times. So, you know, he has had, you know, a kind of firsthand experience, which is invaluable.
It's funny that you guys brought all those questions up because it immediately made me think of, I think it was like 2004, 2005, when like my grandma was like really sick and my mom got us this like family tree book. And I never got a chance to actually finish it on like, what are their likes? What are their dislikes? And it was like only this, it was like two, maybe an inch or so thick, but it had all these random questions that you get to know who your grandparents are and be able to like, you know, tell those stories to your kids and your grandkids and really just leave your legacy.
Absolutely.
So you can reach out to Clayton on Instagram at Hey Claytron. And you can also shoot him an email too. Maybe you want him to like, you know, sell your house. It's info@claytonschneider.com. And obviously you can get Steve's book Shot Down at steveschneiderauthor.com. That's a wrap on another episode of the Brand Ambassador Select podcast. I'm your host, Lenore. And hit that subscribe button so you never miss one. More at brandambassadorselect.com. See you next time.